Welcome back to another Creative Encounter podcast. I'm your host, Juette Payne, and this is episode 31 of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are on YouTube, so please subscribe. Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating. And on Spotify, please leave us a review so we can reach so many more Kingdom creatives through this podcast. But without further ado, I have a very special guest here, an amazing creative friend of mine. Her name is Jasmine Lopez. Jasmine, how are you doing today?
Hey, excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So let me tell you guys, I connect with Jasmine, I think it's been 9 years now, because I based it around me and Gabby's anniversary. Mm-hmm. So 2014 is when I connected with Jasmine and her husband, Jeremy. I was working at Soul City Church at their summer camp, and it was literally the weekend Gabby and I got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so okay. I applied before we got married, and then that Monday, I missed that first day of camp because we were just coming like from our like weekend. Then Tuesday I started and we jumped right in.
Yeah. That's cool. Crazy.
And I was with her amazing daughter at the time, Dakota. They just had two at that time, I believe, right?
Yeah.
She had two girls at the time. They have three beautiful girls. So that's when we connected.
So that's cool. Isn't it wild? Yeah. Like how quickly time flies by.
Oh, it's crazy. But have you been? How's your day going so far?
It is going so good. Lots of meetings, leading a team, and dreaming up about what is next for us.
I know. So. Yeah. Dreaming, that's a big part of this episode.
Yes.
Jasmine has an awesome ministry called the Firehouse Dream, and we're going to be talking about that in today's episode. But before that, I want you to tell me a little bit about what's been going on just like creatively, like how's the family doing and everything like that.
Yeah, so we are a creative family. We love music. Mm-hmm. I don't sing, but my husband and my daughters do.
You said that before.
Yeah.
You like legit can't sing? Because I'm like, your girls, like, they can sing. And I'm like, I know you got.
Okay, I could keep a note, but I'm nothing in comparison to my kids. I'm the girl behind the camera.
Okay, there we go.
So my family does like YouTube music videos. Yeah. My husband travels with music, doing worship full time. Yeah. And then me, I'm a photographer. Yeah. I love graphic design, branding, just any expression of design, interior design, anything that I can be creative with, I love it. And it brings me so much joy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Now, I kind of indirectly got into like digital designing and things like that because I studied architecture at UIC. So that was kind of just like a part of it. Mm-hmm. How did you get into design and things like that?
So I started in photography.
Okay.
Oh, I fell in love with photography when I was like 10 with a Polaroid camera back in the day. Yeah. Do you remember that?
The new kids don't really know what that is. Yeah. Polaroids are popping again though.
Right? And a little film would come out.
No, legit. Like at weddings and stuff. Yes. People are using Polaroids and stuff. Now, like, this is like perfect, you know? Because you get right that moment.
I feel like I have the memory of when my mom bought me that Polaroid, and I feel like it's forever seared in my head. Yeah. And not knowing the impact of how that one camera purchase moved my whole life, right? Wow. And so I go into high school, find out my high school offers photography. Yeah. It was film back then, too.
Wow.
And so
you were literally in a dark room and
really
everything?
Really in a dark room, learning about how to develop and process film from beginning to end. Yeah. And I fell in love with it. But I grew up in a home environment in where I don't think it was really understood that the creative field was a field that you can thrive in and that you can make an income. And so it had been communicated to me that you're creative, but this is just a hobby, right? Yeah. It's just a hobby. It's just a hobby. So I, in my high school experience, was in the mindset of, I'm going to go into the medical field, right? Doctor, lawyer. That's what I was told. Yep. So I was going to go in the medical field. I sucked in science. Yeah. I took anatomy my senior year. I know.
Yeah.
I took anatomy my senior year and like struggled to pass that class. Mm-hmm. But yet photography was just something that just came easy and I loved it and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And I think when I look back, it's because I was this girl who had a story that nobody knew, and this allowed me the opportunity to capture and document stories and to create an opportunity for other things, people, and places to be seen in a way that I was longing to be seen.
Yeah, wow, I love it.
Yeah, and so I decided senior year, my photography teacher speaks this beautiful encouragement into me about how good he thought I was, because I really didn't have adult people in my life either who spoke positively like that into me. And so it was through his encouragement that I was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go to college for photography.
That's
And that's what I did. Yeah. I went to Columbia College.
Oh, nice. No way.
But as a first-gen college student, I didn't know what I was getting myself into in going to art school.
Yeah. Now, let's pause there. Okay, because first of all, you are first-gen, and you're going into something that's, like, not usually, like, the whole type of thing. You're going into a field that's not, like, the common. Because I feel like just even when we were in high school, elementary school is always leading up to go to college to go to those specific type of jobs. I know that's something my dad wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. He's literally lawyer, like, all day. Even to this day.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, no. It's, like, it's crazy. So it's, like, you went and that was the first thing that you did. And, like, how did that go? How was that experience?
To go to art school?
Yeah.
I think... Oh, it was a culture shock, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. I was newly saved, maybe only a year into my salvation story and journey as well. Mm-hmm. And I did not know life beyond my circumstances, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, I'm in a white dominant space. Mm-hmm. I'm in downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm in an area, in a group of people that do not believe in God or even like God.
And you don't really have that family kind of reference of, you know, kind of has college. This is like your first time.
No, there's no mindset of or understanding of what this should be.
Right.
And I just went into it.
Wow.
Completely not, like, in culture shock, and I really struggled, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up transferring to a different school because I was the kind of kid that was like, I just want to be done with this, right? I'm only doing college because that's what I'm told to do. So I found a school that could allow for me to be done in 3 years instead of the four.
Yeah.
And I changed majors, actually, to fashion design.
Really?
Because at the time, photography was going so well for me that I was like, wait, if I have an interest in another field, why not invest my time in that then as I'm continuing to do photography? So I went into fashion design. And then about halfway through my program, I realized how much college debt I got myself into. And I cried and panicked and was like, I need to stop. I cannot continue. So I actually just stopped at my associates in fashion design.
Yeah.
I also realized like how cutthroat the field is and that most of it's
fashion design.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how international that field is.
Okay.
So there was a need in order to be really successful to be international.
Wow.
And I didn't want that. I was
that's another expense. Yeah.
I was already in a committed relationship with Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
We knew we were going to get married. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't think this is a good fit.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what I got myself into. And so I paused and I graduated with my associates and got into the job force and was just like, what am I doing with my life right now?
Dude, the story is so dynamic. I love it so much because that's always like the story with us creatives. It's like there's like this streamlined kind of way that everyone kind of wants us to go. And we're just like, this just doesn't feel right. I kind of want to dabble and go over here and see what's happening. And then it's a blessing that God showed you this is your skill set. You already understood it.
Because
some people know they have that skill, but still not go into it because this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're like, hey, praise God, I'm already good at this.
Yes.
Let me just go for it already.
Yes.
You know?
And then what ended up happening is I could not afford to pay back my student loans.
Yeah.
And Jeremy and I had been married at this time. Mm-hmm. And had heard about Triton College.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how did I not know about Triton?
Yeah, I love Triton.
They had this amazing graphic design production program
where
you learn not just how to be a designer, but to actually produce it. They had these huge four-color presses that you would learn on and take these classes. And so I ended up going back to school to take graphic design production as a way to get my loans back in deferment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's when I got into design and started learning about graphic design, branding, all of those things.
That's amazing. That's crazy. I did not know about the fashion component.
Yes.
The graphic design a bit we talked about.
Yeah.
Actually, I was trying to weeks ago when we were in our meeting, Jasmine and I are in this amazing meeting that we do to for economic solidarity in our neighborhood, and we kind of meet once a month. And yeah, it was about a month ago at the last meeting when I was like, oh, I didn't know you did graphics too. I thought it was like strictly photography.
Mm-mm,
so that's amazing. I love it.
Do it all.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have Jeremy on the episode, in the future. So I'll be talking to him a little bit more, but kind of tell me how the cohesion that you guys had when you met. You both were believers and you both are creative. So how did that cohesion kind of launch you guys forward in your ministry and your business?
Yeah, I think honestly, we were both in kind of this in like crossroad where we're at that same pathway of having to identify like what are the decisions we're going to make moving forward that is based out of what we want and not what our family wants. And that was really hard and challenging. So Jeremy was headed down the trajectory of becoming a lawyer. So he was he was going to do pre-law.
I could not see him doing law at all. Not at all.
And then like a week before he's supposed to start at Concordia, he decides he's going to go to Columbia as well, which of course a lot of assumptions were made because of that, because I was going to Columbia too, but he decided he was pursuing film and I was doing photography. And so we've kind of just been this creative couple that has just been like, we want to use our talents for good. We want to make an impact in the world with them. And it's allowed for us to make an income in a non-traditional kind of way that allows for us to have the time freedom to be able to do ministry and love on our neighbors and in our be present in our community in a way that I think had we followed traditional pathways, it wouldn't have been the same. And so I'm really grateful for the synergy and the unique values we each bring to the table in our skill sets. There's a lot of similarities, but then there's also a lot of differences in that. And so we can complement each other as well.
I love that. Now, you guys started, I'll say, early to mid-20s, kind of just already jumping into...
Right away.
See, I love that because for me, it was, what was that? It's been 2 years now. It's going on 2 years where we just kind of just went all in. With just fully just focusing on our craft. Previously, you know, working regular 9 to 5 and then kind of moonlighting, you know, songwriting, performing, playing and things like that. But now it's just like all in. But had it been, you know, jumping right in earlier, that would have been fantastic to be able to just kind of just have that right away because I love the freedom part. Now I'm kind of like my mindset is kind of stuck sometimes where I'm like, I have to still sit here. It's like, no, I can literally pause because I'm on my own schedule, go meet up with someone. Go do this project, go just go hang out or whatever, and then come back. You have that flexibility.
Yeah.
You
know? I do think, though, that there could have been a lot of wisdom to have mentorship, to have adults in our life who were doing what we were already doing, and we didn't have access to that. So a lot of what we learned and how we've become and gotten to the place of where we are today is a direct result of so many mistakes that we made. So I think while I'm grateful that we started younger, for me at the same time, I'm like, man, if only I knew what I know now, right? I would do everything different, even the college experience, I would do different.
But that's a beautiful thing because you're setting up your children and the youth and individuals, which we're going to speak about next moment, you're setting them up to kind of know what to do. So so God kind of, there has to be one generation that makes all the mistakes to
set up the next one.
Why not to be you guys, right? Why couldn't it be your mama and them, right? No, but yeah, so it's like with that, you're kind of showing them like that they're not limited, which is fantastic. Like even at the age they're at, like, you know, your girls, they could literally start their own business literally right
and
now.
With,
that's what with their skills and stuff. That's what I'm saying. Like, even like Landon and Aiden, I'm like, yo, y'all, just look at what their gifts and skills are and just get them started. It doesn't have to be, you know, later. So I'm just so excited for them. But with that, you know, the struggles and et cetera, you're kind of using your gifts now to be a blessing to the community and to the youth. So I believe your ministry and business is called Firehouse Dream.
Yes. Okay.
So before we get to, so it's going to connect to that, but I want to actually talk about the actual firehouse itself.
Okay. But before we do, I think it's important to mention that in 2010, we faced a season where we lost everything. We lost our house. We lost our car. We lost our possessions. And it was in that process where I really believe the Lord brought us through a journey to redefine and reimagine what success looks like. And so it's been since 2010 that we have really been asking the questions of what does it look like to build a life that is rooted not out of just our values, but out of the things that bring us joy and meaning. And that has been what has led us to making the decisions that we've made now that we've lived in Maywood for 6.5 years.
Wow. Love it. So tell us about that move. So you guys, now I know you went to Soul City. Did you live in the city at the time?
So we've never really lived in the city except one little year where Jeremy had back surgery and he needed to be closer to his job. And so we lived in Bronzeville for a year, but we've always lived in Proviso. So Hillside, Broadview.
Okay. So you guys were out here. Okay. Awesome. And then you moved out to Maywood. So tell us how that transition was.
Yeah. So we moved back to Maywood to purchase a home. Yeah. So after we had lost everything, it was in 2016.
Yeah, yeah. 2016, okay.
We had made a commitment. We would never purchase another home because that was during the Great Recession. We lost our home during the Great Recession. And then in 2016, we just so happened to pay off all our student loans, which is like a God miracle story in its own. I'll have to share another time.
Yeah.
But when that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, maybe the realities of us being able to purchase again could be an available option.
Yes,
we started looking, and, you know, our budget wasn't huge, and so we were looking in Maywood and other communities, and we found a house that we fell in love with that was big enough for us and to be able to also host other families in transition. Yeah. And so we purchased that house, and I really call that year a year of jubilee, because I feel like it's the year that God really restored everything we lost 7 years prior to. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, I love it. Man, that's awesome. So you guys know, okay, so in scripture, the year of Jubilee is a time when in 7 years in Israel, everyone pays off debt. Everyone is back at square one. So that's balance and equality in the with the people of Israel. So that was just like a beautiful time that God showed that even now today. You know, I love that so much.
It's just, it's wild to see the way that God works, even in the midst of our own poor decision making and also out of our own losses. And he can take that and truly has made something really beautiful out of it. And at that time, that was a very painful season in our lives. It was devastating for me as well. And in losing everything, I lost my portfolio too.
Oh, no.
So when we lost our home, we had this huge flood that also damaged my entire portfolio. So I lost my fashion portfolio, my high school portfolio, everything. And that was the day I said I was no longer an artist. And so it's been this whole healing journey over the last 13 years to really connect with who I am as a creative, as an artist, and as a change maker, and using creativity to amplify the concerns of our communities. And that is what the Firehouse Dream is.
Perfect. I was gonna say, that's a perfect segue. So tell us about the Firehouse Dream.
So the Firehouse Dream just is, so 6 years ago in May, we were living in Maywood, came back from a vision trip with Soul City, and learned about a nonprofit out in El Salvador that really partners with the neighbors to come up with the solutions for their community. And then that's when the church partners with the community to be the change makers in their neighborhood. And so I was so moved and inspired by that, that I came back to Maywood and was like, okay, God, I don't want to miss why you've placed us here in Maywood. I sense there's something bigger here. And I began to dream with him about what that could look like. And, you know, if you're not familiar with our community, we've experienced a lot of disinvestment. There's not a lot of economic development. There's a lot of homes that are boarded up. And so I'm like, okay, well, construction's not my skill set. There's a lot of things I don't know. But what I do know is that the creative field has provided a career pathway that has allowed for me to experience creative provision in a way that a traditional career path hasn't. Sports and academics, right? And when we talk about specifically BIPOC communities that have been historically disinvested, the focus is academics or sports. And so the career pathway option is one that doesn't necessarily require higher education, and yet it is a missed opportunity for so many of our youth to have access to. So as I'm dreaming this up, I'm like, what could it look like to have a space, a community space where I can like leverage my network of creatives to come and teach different skill sets? And then I was like, but that's not enough. We have to talk about financial wellness. So how do we build a healthy relationship with money? How do we deal with our realities and perceptions of what it has looked like to grow up in financial insecurity and how that impacts our self-worth and value when it comes to building profitable businesses? And then the last component was, well, then we also need to talk about ourselves and how we see ourselves and how our lived experiences has impacted how we see ourselves. So through mental health. And so it became this holistic picture of like not just creative entrepreneurship, but financial wellness and mental health. And as I was dreaming this up, I just felt the Lord say, go on the MLS. And so I did. And then that's how we found the Firehouse for sale.
I love it. That was awesome. And this space is phenomenal. Like beautiful home and beautiful space to do the business and do the work in the community.
Yes.
So I absolutely love it, you know.
And I call it creative provision because it's an opportunity for us to experience having a completely separate space from our home, but it's in the same building, right? And so it's this mixed-use property that has allowed for us to not only give back to the community, but provide for us to live in it without making our expenses astronomical.
Man, it's been so awesome. Okay, so with this, I've seen photos. You know, I haven't actually physically come there. I would love to come to
a session one day.
But just from the photos and stuff, it looks so engaging, working with the students, teaching photography as one component. How has that been, and where do you kind of, you know, kind of get your students from and everything like that?
Yeah, so we've had to do a lot of pivoting because of the pandemic, because that's really when everything started. We officially got our 501c3
in 2019. Okay.
And then I got into Proviso East doing photography club there. And then we got shut down March with the pandemic. And so, we've had to do a lot of pivoting. So during the pandemic, we pivoted to a mentorship program. We're no longer doing it now. But during the pandemic, we brought in 10 young adults per cohort and taught them for 12 weeks and paid them a stipend that equated to $15 an hour and taught them different skills. Now, what we deeply value is co-creating. So we would dream together, right? So this idea of dreaming. What do you want to learn? What are your creative passions? What do you want to explore? And how can I make that a reality for you? And so based on our youth's feedback is what then allowed for us to then develop and design our 12-week curriculum. We knew that we absolutely wanted storytelling to be in there because storytelling is a part of any creative outlet that we take, whether it's film, photography, design. There's a story in every aspect, right? And we knew that photography was one of the most popular topics, so we always accounted for photography. But every cohort was so different based on what it was that they wanted to specifically learn. And and so the photography side, I would lead that since that's my expertise. And I would teach them the basics of understanding the fundamentals of the three ways to control light. And they would get comfortable with their settings and then they would put their skills to practice by then partnering with other nonprofits. And they would go like Quinn Center and pop in and take pictures and content for them so that they are putting to use the skills that they're learning and then allowing them to build a portfolio in the process that showcases what they're capable of doing. So,
and our, preparing them to go into that field if they decide to.
Because our field is all about portfolio, right? It's portfolio, equipment, and network, people, you know. And so that's what we're about, is leveraging our network, connecting our youth to opportunities. It's about providing them with the equipment so that that's not a financial hindrance or burden. And then it's about providing them with the actual skills so that they develop and are good at it and the clients and potential other organizations can see their potential as well.
So good. Setting up the youth for success and just showing them there's not just one way. There's just so many different options that you can go with this thing, you know?
Yes.
I love it. That's so cool. Now, you are about telling stories. That's a big thing. I know culturally speaking, you're Puerto Rican, correct?
I'm Puerto Rican, yes, and Mexican, but I say I'm culturally Puerto Rican.
Culturally Puerto Rican. There we go.
So I didn't grow up in my Mexican family.
There we go. Now, you did an awesome project. I saw on your Instagram maybe last year or the year before where you we're taking photos of Latina moms, I believe it was.
So before I started the Firehouse Dream, I had a give back where I photograph inspiring stories. And I've done tons of topics, anywhere from cancer to breast cancer, foster care, weight loss. We did sexual assault awareness month to break the silence. And then the last 5 years I've been focusing on highlighting the Latina experience. So inspiring Latinas. The very first one I did was back in 2018, I want to say. And my years are getting all blurred together now, right? I know. 2018 was the first year that I did this campaign, and it was called Am I Latina Enough? And I gathered over 20 women together to come and be photographed by me, and they shared their Latina story and experience. experience awesome. With the world on the blog.
Yeah.
And it was a really powerful moment. I think at that time, I think not many people were talking about it the way that they're talking about it now, the ways that we've faced assimilation, our cultural challenges, what it looks like to live in America, and our cultural context, and really wrestling with how do I connect with the fullness of who I am and bring all of who I am to the table because it is worthy. God uniquely designed me as a Puerto Rican woman for a reason, and so I don't need to deny that part of my cultural identity. I can walk into the fullness of who I am in all spaces.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so good. And I feel like I like to try to connect the pieces as we continue to grow from children to adults and whatnot. I feel like even just the experience at Columbia was a setup because God would see that you would do something like that in 2018.
Oh my gosh.
You know, just kind of using that experience, it was just like how overwhelming that was for you, how just different, like the culture shock and being able to, am I Latina enough? Like, am I embracing my culture? How do I still embrace it in this new dynamic and field and give everyone else a platform to share that?
Yes.
So cool.
Because in the photography field, it was so white dominant too. There was barely any people of color in it. And it was mostly men as well.
Okay,
and so for me, I thought, and then the strategies that were being taught to us at conferences were all rooted in assimilation, right? This high-end luxury client. I was in the wedding field and portraiture, and so in-person sales, and you want to attract a certain client, so you have to dress like them, you have to look like them. And I took that messaging of I need to assimilate, and I need to pretend that I am something that I'm not. And the reality that I faced was that I will never be white enough in white spaces, and then I will never also be Latina enough in Latina spaces. And that has been a challenge and a struggle that I have faced and gone through in my own healing journey with the Lord, and being like, well, no one gets to tell me who I am and what makes me enough, especially as a Latina who isn't fluent in Spanish, who isn't wasn't born in Puerto Rico, right? I was born here. And so really not allowing people to ascribe my identity, but rather being able to walk into the fullness of my identity as a child of God and who He uniquely designed me to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
Ooh, so, man, that's so good. Holy smokes. Man, this is such a blessing. And so just like how God uniquely designed us as creatives, but then even how our culture, our upbringings, our circumstances, highs and lows, all of it plays a part to make this journey that we can share with someone else and just take them to the next level. So it's like, even like with this podcast, it's like every time we talk about these situations, someone is going to tap in and relate to these different components, and it's going to propel them forward and propel them forward.
Yes. You know? Every part of our story is a part of who we are, right? Like, our stories don't define us, but they do shape us. And we get to decide how we're going to move forward with that, right? And so, growing up low income, growing in a Latina home, growing up in a single parent home without a dad my entire life, growing up, you know, all these experiences that I have had, every bit of our story is an opportunity for us to fully connect with it so that it informs who we are as leaders, as parents, as community organizers. It helps us, it develops us into leadership and really cool opportunities. So.
Yeah, praise God. I love it. This is so good. Okay, so I want you to tell me now, and I'm still kind of on this firehouse dream because I just love how it's really just blessing the next generation. And it's community. It's just in our community. Like, you know, a lot of people, sometimes we can move to a neighborhood and not really be active in that community, you know? But I love that you guys are actually reaching out and touching this neighborhood where it's needed. It's so phenomenal. So what's kind of on the horizon with Firehouse Dream? What's something that you guys are currently working on at the moment?
Yeah, so in 2021, we pivoted, again, based on the needs of just what our community is. We're so big on co-creating and shared power that for us, we pivot based on what the community feedback is. And so since 2018-2019 school year, we've had 7 losses to suicide amongst our youth. And so and mental health is one of our pillars, right? And so as an organization, we said no longer can we be reactive to the needs of our youth. We need to be proactive. So we gathered a group of youth together and we said, hey, we understand that the journey of taking an individual to receiving mental health services, professional mental health services, is a process.
Yeah.
And that safety and trust needs to be there in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
So what would it look like if we put a resource kit, right? There's so many ways to experience healing outside of the clinical professional experience.
Yeah.
And so what if we put this resource kit together that's co-collaborated and designed with you guys that allows for our youth to begin to learn some tools and coping strategies as they pursue their own mental health journey, right? Because I don't believe you take one student from A to Z. That's, unless they're in a crisis, but that's, we don't want to wait until they're in a crisis. We want to be preventative, right? And so with their feedback, they're like, we want fidgets, we want journals and journal prompts and all these different things inside. And we created this mental health kit called A Bag of Big Feelings.
That's cool.
And again, the youth got to vote on it and decide. We had like four different names and they picked that one, that one won. And so everything inside of this mental health kit was intentionally chosen and designed by our youth. So the stickers were hand illustrated and drawn in Procreate by them. The pens were designed by youth that are with inspiring quotes in there. Our journal prompts, the questions that are in there were came up and developed by our young adults. You know, having the journal in there. And then the really cool thing is we have a tool in there that's a feelings wheel that's through creativity. So there's a keychain with a little marker that comes on it and it says, today I feel. And so they use this feelings wheel as a way to connect with this keychain to self-reflect and identify what they're feeling today. So it's, again, just beginning to normalize, what am I feeling and how do I connect with that feeling and how do I gain language for it, right? And so this is something we're deeply passionate about. And to date, our goal is to give one for free to every youth in the community.
Oh,
there's like over 5,000 of them, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? This is a big lofty dream because this there's an expense to it. This isn't a cheap kit. It's very intentionally put together. And so, but to date, we've given out over 900 kits.
Since,
and we just launched it in December.
Oh, no way.
So, I mean, less than 6 months.
Yeah.
So by the end of the school year, we'll hit our 1,000 goal.
Love it.
And then we're hoping every semester, a new 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. And just until we hit our community and then go right wider and wider and wider and reach other communities as well. But I think there's something so beautiful about how we can use creativity, right? Design, photography, film. The part I forgot to mention is we also have digital content that our youth have created with breath work and youth sharing their stories on their own mental health journeys to normalize the topic, panel discussions. All of that content on our website was done by our young adults. And so it's really a resource that was created by them and for them. And so we really, the feedback we're getting too has been amazing. Many of the youth are like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. What's taken organizations like yours so long to come into our school? That's one that we just got.
That's what I love hearing. I'm going to pause you there because as you're talking, I'm getting excited hearing it because it's not, pretty much you're involving them. It's not like you're coming into the community and saying, hey, this is something we already kind of put together. You're sitting there talking with them. What do you guys want to do? Not even that. What do you want to do? But let's get your hands in on it. And you create it, too.
Let's teach you how to do it.
Yeah.
Let's teach you even how to get inventory, right? So then that's where the creative entrepreneurship side goes into this because then they're learning inventory, how to work with vendors, find vendors, pricing and quotes, which that's tricky. If you're designing a quantity of 150 journals, and then they're learning about how to track inventory, then pack it, and then distribute it, and then disperse them, whether we do it in a pop-up opportunity where we're selling the product and they're interacting with the client, or they're passing them out as a giveaway to our youth in the community. And so they're getting the whole roundabout opportunity to fully learn about how it looks like and what it looks like to have a product-based business.
Yeah, setting them up. Especially, like, you know, in 2020 is when a lot of people kind of just like hey, you know, I lost my job. Mm-hmm. I still need to make income, support my family. So let me launch something. Let me create something, right? And now we're kind of in that rhetoric moving forward. So now you're kind of just showing them how to just go into it. And they're still like in high school. So, you know, oh man, like the sky's the limit, you know, even further, you know, there's no limit, you know?
Yeah. It's like, so how do you ship and package an order? How do you do that? What does that look like? Yeah. What software do I use? How do I implement that? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, these are all skills we all need to know and we should know. Mm-hmm. And they're getting it in their young, you know, late teens, early 20s. Yeah,
that's so good. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. Cool. So, okay, so pretty much I want people to be able to reach out to you. Now, these toolkits, Jasmine and her team are actually raising funds to be able to get these toolkits. I believe you said maybe about 6,000 students or 6,000 kits that we're trying to get?
We're fundraising for 1,000 right now.
For 1,000 right now. Okay,
so it's
cool.
60,000. That's what it was, Each kit is $60. Mm-hmm. And that allows for us to not only cover our cost of goods, but it covers paying our staff equitably, and then it covers the overhead to operate as a nonprofit.
There we go. That's what it was. Yeah, so I remember that number. So 60,000 is what we are raising. So in the description below, please click the link and give anything. Anything you give is going to help to support and propel this mission here. But we would absolutely love that. You know, Firehouse Dream is fantastic. And we're going to have the link for Firehouse Dream down there as well. But I want to, we always wrap up every episode with giving just a motivation, some type of word that you can give to the creative, things to kind of just ponder on, or something that you want them to actually act on, you know?
Yeah. I would say if you are in a season of discouragement and not knowing, or a pivot, not sure what's next in this season, I would encourage you to dream again. Not only just dream, but take an opportunity to imagine. And I believe imagining is a little different than dreaming. It is, and it's taking limitations off of ourselves and what could be, and creating the opportunity for the Lord to partner with us in our imagination.
Oh man, thank you so much for that, man. These episodes, I'm telling you, they'd be blessing me. I'd be like, forgetting about the audience, I'm like, man, this is encouraging me, man. I love that imagination. That's huge. I love that. That's so much bigger. Like, you have to start there with like imagining. How far can your imagination stretch? Is that limited? If you get a roadblock, go a little further, you know, make it just go crazy with it, you know?
And scripture tells us we have unlimited access to all of his resources. So it's like, we can't let money or our lack of not knowing something be what stops us. Because if there's a dream there, there's an opportunity for us to watch God and to partner with God to see this come into fruition. So. And that's basically what the Firehouse Dream was and is. It's been just one baby step for me from imagining this idea to it becoming what it is today. And as a result, it's been done only in partnership with the Lord. He's taken me step by step by step.
Yeah, I love it. And it's just kind of using your resources as a steward of what's already his, and kind of going back to the manager and being like, hey, yo, this is what I want to present in front of you. Be like, there's something we want to do. And then he puts a seal of approval on it and helps it, you know, come to fruition. Man, hallelujah. I love it. So good. Guys, I want you guys to follow Jasmine Lopez. We have her information in the description below for you guys to follow her on, you know, Instagram, follow her website, all the things that she is doing in the community and linking up. And again, we would love for you to give to that. And then also remember, Creative Encounter is also a nonprofit. So the link is down there as well if you want to become a monthly partner with this ministry, so we continue to do the podcast, the monthly events that we have, and continue to reach so many more people through performance and music and all these different events that we host as well. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Jasmine, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.